And while they're doing that, turn with me to Romans chapter 12, page 947 in the Pew Bibles. Romans chapter 12. God led me to this passage, and as usual, he brings me to these to study them just as much for me as you. Let's read verses 1 and 2 together. Our focus will be on verse 2. Romans chapter 1, chapter 12, verse 1. This is the word of God. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. My question today is, do we truly worship the Creator of the universe? Do we pursue holiness? Now let me be clear. If we are a born-again believer in Christ, then we are cleansed of all of our sins, past, present, and future. If we are born-again believers in Christ, then we have Christ's righteousness, and our standing before God is perfect. We are God's children, and we will be forever, and nothing can ever change that. My question is, as children of the Most High God, as His children, are we humbly, by grace, through faith, pursuing hard after being holy? And I say humbly because I'm not talking about having a holier-than-thou attitude. God clearly is not calling us to be a people of pride. Look at verse 3. For the grace given to me, I say to every one among you. What is it that Paul is saying to every single believer in Christ? Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Do not think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. And the rest of that verse is a whole other sermon. If that's not enough, look back up in chapter 11, verse 17. The branches that are spoken of here that are broken off is Israel. The branches that are grafted in is us. Romans 11, 17. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Then you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then the kindness and severity of God, severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. We are not to be a proud people. We are to be fearful people. Are we humbly, by grace, through faith, pursuing holiness? Thus saith the Lord, you shall be holy, for I am holy. God is very serious about our holiness. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, and to be in your word, Father, your commands, your word is powerful, Father. May it transform us today. Father, may this truth become a reality. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we start, let me define holiness. Holy literally means to be set apart, consecrated, devotion to the service of God. God is holy. There is none like him. He is set apart from everything and everyone. And so are we to be holy. We are to be set apart unto him and for him. We are not to be like anything else that exists in this sin-cursed world. We are not to worship anything that exists on this planet. We are to be like Christ, holy, separate, and devoted to the will of our Father. You shall be holy, for I am holy. God is very serious about our holiness. It is, in fact, our spiritual worship to pursue after holiness. Look back at verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. When I started preparing this sermon, it was brought to my memory that Ross preached on it back in August. He preached on verse 1. So I listened to it again, and I would recommend that you do as well on our website. So, to prepare this message and to put into context verse 2, here are some of the main points of Ross's sermon. We are to be set apart for God. God must come first. We must regard others as more important than ourselves. And listen now. We must have a willingness to sacrifice our needs, wants, and desires for what God wants. And then Ross asked, what are we hanging on to? True worship to God is worshiping with our lives. We should be the person God has called us to be daily. Worship needs to be our life. We are living for, are we living for self, or are we living for the Lord? And lastly, a great point which I want to build on today. We are most like Christ when we sacrifice our desires for God's will. We are most like Christ when we sacrifice our desires for God's will. And I want to add one word to that point, because verse 2 is how to live this truth, and it is laid out for us. We are most like Christ when we sacrifice our fleshly desires for God's will. Let's look at verse 2 together. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The title of the message today is Not Conformed, But Transformed. There are three simple truths that each and every one of us, each and every one of us should adhere to every single moment of every single day. If we want to pursue holiness, if we want to have the God-given desire in us to be holy, then we do not only need to hear these words, but we need to heed them. Three simple truths. First, we do not. Second, we do. Third, we test. So, first, we do not. We do not be conformed. So let's look at what's going on here. I see this as an instruction from God with an inherent warning attached. That is, God commands us not to be conformed, and because of what we are not to be conformed to, we better obey this command. So I want to look at three ways how we are not conformed. We're going to look at how, we're going to look at warning, and we're going to look at how. How is it people are conformed? And we're going to look at the warning by God not to be conformed. And then we're going to look at how not to be conformed. It's kind of like a sinking ship. The command is not to be on this sinking ship. So we'd look at how come we're on it? How come we're on this ship that's sinking? And then we would hear the warning to get off this sinking ship. And then we're going to look at how we get off the ship. What is the life preserver to save us? Let's start by looking at it and let's just see what we're not supposed to be conformed to. And then it'll all unfold from there. Look at verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to the world. Well, that's easy. Just don't turn into a round ball that's spinning in a circle and tilted 23.439281 degrees. It's that easy. Let's go eat potluck. What is God telling us here? The word world is not the Greek word cosmos, which means the physical earth. It's a different word. It's aeon, which means age, as in this evil age, this present world with its cares and its temptations and its desires. This is an evil age and an evil world. Do not be conformed to this present world with its cares and its temptations and its desires. Do not be conformed to this evil age. Do not be conformed to this world. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. So let's look at how it is we are conformed. How do we end up on that sinking ship? How is it that without knowing it, we are finding ourselves sinking? And it is really quite simple. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. This is something we all know. The world is evil, and it draws hard on our flesh. Our flesh desires or lusts for things of the world. And there's pride. Oh, the deception and destruction that comes with pride. We are to be selfless people, not selfish. Life in Christ has nothing to do about me. It's all about Him, and it's all about others, not me. So this is how we get on the sinking ship. This is how we are conformed to this world. We are enticed. We are deceived. Our fleshly desires and our lusts work against us, and our pride works against us. Remember the garden? What did Satan use to convince Adam and Eve to sin? Enticement, deception. He seduced them. He drew on the desires of their flesh. Turn with me to Revelation 18. He doesn't know I had to go to Revelation. I've said a number of times before, and I think it's important to say it now. Deception is by its nature deceiving. That is, you don't know that you are living a lie. You can't see the truth because you are being deceived. This is the same with seduction, except the reality of seduction is you don't realize you are being seduced before it's too late. Seduction is sneaky evil. What we're going to see in Revelation 18 is the description and judgment of the evil world system, Babylon. Listen now. Not being conformed to the world is to not be seduced by the great prostitute, Babylon. If you want to know what Babylon is, simply in three terms, three ways. Babylon is a literal city where evil resides. Babylon is representative of all false religion from the beginning of creation. And Babylon is representative of the evil world system that promotes self-indulgement and fleshly lusts. Me. Whatever feels good. Remember where we are now. Don't be conformed to the world. How? How are we being conformed? How did we get on that sinking ship? We were deceived and seduced. Now we're going to look at the warning. Chapter 18, verse 1. After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was made bright with its glory. He called out with a mighty voice, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great." Let's hold up there. You've heard of rabbit trails and you've heard of rabbit holes. It's time to catch the rabbit. It's time to have rabbit dinner. I want to feast on this a little bit. Look back at verse 1. After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was made bright with his glory. Does this sound a little familiar to you? How about if I read this? And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared with them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." There was an angel coming down, glowing with the glory of God, to announce the good news of great joy of the coming of Christ. There is an angel that will come down, glowing with the glory of God, to announce the good news of great joy of the judgment of evil. Brothers and sisters, while always praising God for his grace, there is nothing wrong with taking great joy in the reality that evil will be judged. In fact, God commands us to rejoice on that day. He repays evil with judgment. Look down to verse 20. "Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, for God has given judgment for you against her. The great whore of the ages has been judged, and she has been destroyed. The one who had been seducing and deceiving souls since creation has come to the end of her time." And the angel comes bright with glory in verse 2. Called out with a mighty voice, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great." She has become a dwelling place for demons, a haunt for every spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable beast. And we see what she has done. This is her record before God. Verse 3. "For all the nations have drunk the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality. And the kings of the earth have committed immorality with her. And the merchants of the earth have grown rich from the power of her luxurious living." And now, brothers and sisters, hear the voice and the warning of God. "Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues. For her sins are heaped as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities.'" Do not be conformed to the world, but come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you take part in her judgment. How we get on the sinking ship is to be seduced by the prostitute. So she will deceive and entice, and when we drink the wine of her cup, we become drunk on the feeding of our flesh. It will be all about me. If we think We are living in truth and do not battle against sin. If we think we are following Christ and our highest priority is not being with Him and His people, if we think we are in God's will and not serving Him, if we think we are in love with our God, yet we find our rest and comfort in worldly things and not in Christ and His people, then we have been seduced and we are being conformed to the world. And if this is happening, if you find yourself on the sinking ship, then heed the call and the warning of God. Because, brothers and sisters, this is where the rubber meets the road. If we hear the call of God to come out of her and we do not react, then we better check our heart. Because this is what Romans 11:20 means. Remember it? So do not be proud, but fear. Listen carefully now. If our reality is living in perpetual unrepentant sin against God, then our Father lovingly impresses on His children to fear Him in order to bring them back to Himself. If you are drunk on the wine of the prostitute, if you are seduced into loving things and busyness and not God, if you are worshiping and idolizing anything but God, you are being conformed to the image of this world. And you better heed the warning of God, fear Him, and come to Christ. That's what warning passages in Scripture are all about. So how do we come out? How do we get off the sinking ship? Fear is the motivator. And Jesus is our lifeline from God. Oh, dear people, run to Jesus. Run hard to the cross of Christ. Go to God in prayer and ask for forgiveness and repent. And then move on. Move on. Do not be conformed to this world. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. So we had how, we had the warning, and we had how. Now we have how. How do we move on? How do we not be conformed to this world? 2 Corinthians 6:14. May God speak directly to us through this. Verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord. And do not touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. We love the end of this passage because God makes it clear what fear of Him does for us, for His children. Fear for God is His love for us to bring holiness to completion. How do we come out of her? We do it literally. Not that we live on the moon. Look at it. Verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Down to 17. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Go out from their midst. Does this mean that we shouldn't have unbelieving friends and coworkers and neighbors? Does this mean that we shouldn't love on and witness and be around unbelievers? Absolutely not. This is not what God is saying here. Be clear on that. But also be clear on what God is saying. He is saying, do not let unbelievers be your priority. Do not let unbelievers be your primary source of companionship. Do not let unbelievers be your influence. Because, brothers and sisters, make no mistake about it, whether friend or foe, unbelievers of this are of this world, and they bring it with them into our lives. Do we spend time with them and love on them? Yes, absolutely. But if our best friends are unbelievers, in our time, in our energy, in our resources, and our fellowship is primarily coming from them, then we are unequally yoked. And God says you must change that. God says you must go out from their midst and be separate from them. And brothers and sisters, if you don't want to go down with the sinking ship, if you don't want to be conformed to the image of this world, then your priorities and influence must come from God and His children. Do not be conformed to this world. Come out from her. Be separate unto God. Be holy, for I am holy. Turn back to our verse in Romans 12. What we just went through was the first of our three simple truths. Remember them? Let me say this, the next two have to be shorter or we'll be here until we all get in our cars and go up the Robles. Right? We're all going there. It's going to be a big crowd there today, I'm sure. Three simple truths. We do not. We do and we test. We do not be conformed to this world. And now number two is what we are to do. Look at it. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Do not do, do be transformed. So two questions to answer here. What and how? What is it that we are not to be transformed, or what is it we are to be transformed into, and how does that happen? Turn back a couple of chapters to chapter 8. We always find our way back to Romans chapter 8. What are we being transformed into? And please understand that the last part of this message was hard on fearing God. I hit hard on it because God hits hard on it. The reality of being in sin, being conformed to the world, and being in sin without battling to get out, without true repentance, should cause us to fear God. Does that mean you should question your salvation? If you do not heed and hear the warnings of God, then yes, question your salvation. If you do not hear and heed the warnings of God, then you better look at your heart. But also, understand this, we all have lulls in our battle, right? We all battle, and there are times in our lives when we have lulls. If you are battling and it is hard, and you know that you have Christ, then let these verses be of utmost encouragement to you. Because as Christ's everlasting possession, our transformation is guaranteed. Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. And watch what we are being transformed or conformed to. Not the world, but, verse 29, For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. We are being transformed to the image of the Son of God. We are being transformed and conformed to the image of Christ. Let's just finish this little passage. In order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers, and those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. The question of what we are being transformed to is really more of a question of to whom. It is Jesus. It's the Son of God. We are being conformed to the image of Christ. As born again believers in Christ, this is our destiny. One note on transforming. It is an ongoing process. It will not be completed in perfection until we are with Jesus. Listen to what 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us about the process. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We are transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. It is a process. Keep your finger in chapter 8 and go back to our passage in chapter 12. So we are being transformed into the image of Christ. Let's look at how. Verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed. How? How do we become more and more like Christ? By the renewal of your mind. By the renewal of your minds. So then, what do we do so our minds are renewed? If we are in Christ, I want you to understand something. Our minds are all that's left to battle for. Nothing else is in play. Our bodies will deteriorate and die. Nothing short of Christ coming back can change that. Our souls are saved, never to see death. Christ did that for us. Our spirit is now indwelled by the Holy Spirit, and we are sealed. And all of that is true. And the only thing we need to do is understand, know, and truly believe the truths of God. That is where our mind comes in. God renews our minds. And when we come to understand, know, and truly believe the truths of God to the point of living them, that's when we are like Christ. So how are our minds renewed? Flip back to chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 5. We have all heard this 100 times. But let's take a look at it with fresh eyes. What are we to do with our minds? Romans 8, 5 through 8. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh. So what is that? Those conform to the world. Yes, but that's not us. We've been called out by God. We have Christ, so we want to be transformed by the renewal of our minds, so we read. But those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. There it is again. A mind on the flesh is death. We don't want that. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We are to set our mind on the things of the Spirit. And we are to set our minds on the Spirit. We know that, right? We all know that. We all do. But the question is, do we do it? Are we doing it? Let's look at another one. Turn to Colossians 3. And the if right away is, if your faith is in Christ, we are saved. Notice that. So this is speaking to those who have Christ. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, what should we pursue after? Hobbies, friends, TV, jobs, money, internet, phones, self-righteousness? No, God tells us to seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So we seek Christ. What is our mind to be set on? Set your mind on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Brothers and sisters, don't complicate what God has us to do. We've heard this before. It is simple, simple, simple. But do we do it? Are we seeking the things above? Are we setting our minds on Christ? He says not to be conformed to the world. Don't do it. Come out of it and be separate. Do not set your mind on things of the earth. Don't set your mind on the worldly things that deceive and seduce you. Don't set your mind on self. Set your mind on the things of God, His Word, His truth, His love, His purpose, His glory. Set your mind on the future God has for you in Christ. Set your mind on these things. This made me think of Lala's. And I hope I don't offend anybody with this, but I think this might help us. When Renee and I moved up here, we noticed that some of the people up here tend to drive a little differently than we do. They would just drive down the road without paying much attention, pull out in front of you and turn left a half mile down the road. Just didn't seem to be paying attention to what they were doing. I don't know what they were thinking about. It was clearly not focused on driving. And we started calling them Lalas. Oh, there's a Lala. You know, like, la 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 la, do-do-do-do-do, just kind of driving. And I think to myself, is that me in my walk with Christ? Where is my mind? Where is my focus? Is it on the things of this world, or is it on Jesus? What are we doing, brothers and sisters? We should never, ever underestimate the glory of our calling. Are we fooling ourselves in regards to our mindsets on Christ? Is it just, la, 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 Jesus is my Savior, I'm going to heaven? I beg God not to let me be a la-la Christian. We need to pursue hard after focusing on Christ. We need to focus on being conscious of Him in our lives. We need to focus on His Word and His love and His people and His calling in our lives. Don't be a la-la Christian. La-la Christians don't have minds that are being renewed. La-la Christians are mostly like being conformed to this world rather than to Christ. Get rid of the distractions and focus all of your mind on Him. Because this is a dangerous place to be. La-la Christians are seduced and deceived because they think they are doing okay. They are lukewarm and God will spit them out of His mouth. One last quickie on la-la-la-la-la Christians. Most la-la drivers do go slow, but not all of them. And more and more and more, la-la drivers, those without focus are driving really fast. They are texting, and they are checking Facebook, and they are emailing, and they are being distracted. So remember, you can be a fast la-la Christian as well. Busy, 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 and not paying attention to God. If you're doing that, you might just be going to hell faster. Beware. God says, come out of her and run to Christ. Jesus is our hope. Turn back to our passage in Romans chapter 12, and we'll see where we are. Three simple truths. We do, and we test. Do not be conformed to this world. And we do be transformed by the renewals of our mind. And number three, we test. And this one will have to be quick, and I'm truly, truly sorry about that. This should have been a second message. But I think what I'm going to do is next Sunday morning, we're going to spend some time in the adult Sunday class looking at this. But let's look back at our passage, Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing, and what are we testing for? That you may discern what is the will of God. And what is the summary of the will of God for us? That which is good and acceptable and perfect. Testing, QC, quality control. We all want to be able to discern the will of God, right? Yes? Let me say this. This should be a continuous activity of our mind. We should go through our day conscious of our conscience. That is, we should be aware of all of our situations and be asking ourselves this. In God's eyes, is this truly, truthfully good? Is this truly, truthfully acceptable? Is this truthfully perfect? Testing to discern what the will of God for us can only happen for those who have a mind that is being renewed. Don't fool yourself into thinking you can have it both ways. Don't be a fence sitter. Do not be a la-la Christian. The more you are conformed to this world, the harder it will be to follow God's will. Because you are deceived and you don't know what is truly good. You are deceived and you do not know what is truly acceptable. You are deceived and you do not know what is truly perfect. On the other hand, a mind focused and set on Christ will be a mind able to discern, because that mind will be filled with the Word of God and have the mind of Christ. That mind will be sensitive to the Holy Spirit prompting within us. And that mind will enlist brothers and sisters in Christ for confirmation. And that mind will know, understand, and believe what is truly good, acceptable, and perfect. So we go through life testing what we are told, testing what we believe, testing what we are experiencing, and we are able to prove out what is the will of God. And brothers and sisters, this will lead to true spiritual worship spoken of in verse 1. So those are the 3 points. Let's close. I certainly don't want anyone to leave discouraged and feeling guilty. But I'll tell you this. It is very, very good if you feel Holy Spirit conviction and then react to it. I did, as God led me into this message and guided me through it. If you know the will of God, if you know what the will of God is, then hear God's voice. Do not be conformed to this world. Come out of her, my people. I am God. Worship me. You shall be holy, for I am holy. And by my grace, through faith, in my power, for your good and for my glory, yield to me. Let's pray together. Father, we have been through quite a bit of scripture today. And there is really nothing we can do except trust you with this, Lord. And oh, Lord, I long for all of us to pursue hard after holiness, to honor you and worship you with our lives. So, Father, I pray that through your word today and the power of your Holy Spirit, you transform Country Bible Church more into the image of your Son. Oh, I pray that you do this. In Jesus' name, amen.